Dave.
Thank you, sir.
Council to include options in our Amendment 5 DEIS to establish a river herring catch cap. This is because Mid-Atlantic Council at the last meeting decided to include provisions for a river herring catch cap in their squid, mackerel, and butterfish MFP. Documents in there include the correspondence from Rick Robbins, Chairman of the Mid-Atlantic, requesting that we consider including the catch cap in our amendment. Also, a memo from the Mid-Atlantic Council staff outlining some of the issues. There's also a timeline for both of the amendments, which line up quite nicely, and also a letter from Lori, our PDT chair, regarding some possible options for the river herring catch cap, as well as a PDT report that was developed in 2010 considering possibilities of development of a river herring catch cap by the PDT, and some analysis associated with that. First of all, I'll refer you to document number 2 from Jason Didden from the Mid-Atlantic Council. He outlined 2 issues that he saw with not having compatible management measures. One, due to the overlap of the relevant fisheries, there could be some large-scale discarding of Atlantic mackerel if vessels continue to fish for Atlantic herring in Area 2 during the Atlantic mackerel closures due to the catch cap. Another issue that he outlined was that continued Atlantic herring fishery in Area 2 after the mackerel closure could reduce any positive impacts to the river herring and shad in the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council if the mid chooses to select river herring catch caps. Lori, in response to this request, put together a memo, which is item 2A, on November 10th, which provided, first of all, 3 potential options that reflect essentially the decisions that the options that are in the Mid-Atlantic Council's document. They include, obviously, the no-action alternative, option 1. Option 2 would implement river herring mortality cap via the specification process in the herring fishery, and it could be applied to either ABC or ABC and D vessels. Also, in option 3, add river herring catch cap mortalities, river herring mortality caps to the list of measures that can be implemented in a framework adjustments. And I'll just point out at the end of the document, Lori points out that council action had actually included that under 3.3.5 of our amendment, that we could, once the ASMFC stock assessment is completed, we could implement a river herring catch cap via the framework process. So that's already in there. There's also an issue, the third paragraph down, that identifies in the Mid-Atlantic Amendment 14 options for both a shad catch cap in addition to the river herring catch cap. And both of these could be considered, if we were to choose to have a river herring catch cap, we could also include options for a shad catch cap. I think that gives a basic overall summary of what we have to decide here. As I see it, We already have an option here for including it in a framework. The only real question here to be compatible with the MID is if we wanted to include an option that would provide the opportunity to develop a river herring catch cap via the specification process. So with that, I'll take any questions any questions that Lori, you might have for Lori about this decision, but the request from the MID is that we include an option for a river herring catch cap.
Dave Pierce.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. I have a question for Lori that relates to the presentation you just gave and, of course, the correspondence from the MID requesting that we include this this bycatch cap option with the language they've suggested. The question of you, Lori, is to what extent have you and Jason Didden, your counterpart in the Mid-Atlantic dealing with Mackerel, to what extent have you discussed this issue? And do you and he have a disagreement regarding the river herring cap, bycatch cap? Specifically, this council has been guided by the plan development team headed up by you. There was a plan development team consensus statement on page 14 of the documents that Doug just described that certainly convinced me to go the way we went with the herring amendment. Yet it seems that Jason Didden and his support staff or his advisors have gone in a different direction. So can you tell us, was there a failure? Were you unable to have the same perspective regarding the ability to actually come up with a numerical cap, to monitor that cap, to know when it actually is taken? Why are they going in a different direction?
I haven't discussed the details of any of the options with Jason. We've really been working more on coordination and just identifying issues in the document where we might need some more coordination. We haven't really talked about the process of picking the number, which we both agree is going to be the hardest part. They already had the option included in their amendment to establish the catch cap. So I think Jason's memo, I think, focused more on why we might want to consider having the catch cap in our amendment and how that might improve some of the issues that could result from not having it in one fishery and having it in another. So my response memo was just to try to lay out more specifically what the options would actually look like instead of just identify the issues and the reasons that we might not consider it. But I don't think we've talked too much about the details of it. The PDT did in that paper not support a catch cap in this amendment, and the reasons are detailed in the paper. And I don't think the PDT's changed its opinion. We've largely, since the September Council meeting, just been focusing on fixing the document up and getting the additional analysis in there, so we haven't really stopped to talk about the catch cap issue yet. I think a lot of the components of a catch cap are already in our amendment document, like the trigger measures or would the behavior or the monitoring of the cap would be very similar to what we have, you know, it would be what we have in the document for monitoring the triggers. The mackerel FMAT or PDT expressed opposition, came out and they do not support the spatial management approaches for river herring, to address river herring bycatch. So we have, you know, one PDT supporting one measure that's in both documents. The spatial management measures are still in the Mid-Atlantic Council's document. And then we have another PDT not supporting the catch caps and instead, you know, putting forward for your consideration these spatial measures. So when I was at the Mid-Atlantic Council meeting and they were discussing it, the only thing they really discussed at the meeting was asking us to put a similar option for catch caps in our document, since they kept the spatial alternatives in their documents, so that we both just go out to public hearings with the same suite of measures. Nobody really expressed support or specifically supported any of the options. It was more just about going out to public hearings with the same suite of options to consider so that we don't end up in a situation potentially where we have completely differing measures between the two fisheries.
Okay, so their FMAT is advising the council to go with the catch cap, not spatial management such as hotspot closures, the approach that we're using in our sea herring amendment, whereas the plan development team has provided us with a different perspective. Okay. So it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds.
Oh, it will be. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say that their FMAT, I'd have to go back and look at the specific detail in their last report. I wouldn't go so far as to say that the FMAT has expressed support for the catch caps, but they just in their report, they expressed a lot of concerns about small-scale spatial management measures and the potential for those kinds of management measures to be effective. They may have concluded that catch caps may be more effective, but I'm not sure. The herring PDT, other than the catch cap measures or options, hasn't really come out and expressed specific support for anything. We'd figure we'd do that after the document's out for public comment and stuff. But we did in the paper not recommend setting caps at this time.
I have Dave Gaethel, then Terry Stockwell.
Hey, Laurie, I'm looking at the language in the Mid-Atlantic Memorandum, specifically the last paragraph. It says, including as an alternative, Amendment 5, consider closing Area 2 to Atlantic herring fishing during January through April when the Atlantic mackerel fishery was closed, could address the potential issue described above. When we close the herring fishery, that means it reverts to 2,000 pounds a day, right? When the Atlantic mackerel fishery closes, do they have a similar bycatch, or is it zero?
You mean bycatch or catch allowance?
Yeah, something.
For incidental mackerel? I don't know the question of that. I've got the draft amendment here, but I'm not sure how that's addressed. I'm not sure. Mary Beth knows.
I do know, actually. It is set through the specification process for mackerel, and it is 20,000 pounds. So it's a significant amount. The memorandum, I was at the Mid-Atlantic Council when this was discussed, and the memorandum and its suggestions are outside of that discussion that was not discussed at all. There is an overlap between the herring and mackerel fishery, and then there is also a distinct herring fishery versus the mackerel fishery. It's very difficult from the data to pick or tease that information apart because pretty much everyone who goes mackerel fishing, will declare into the herring fishery in case they run into herring. So it makes the data hard to come by. And I think one of the biggest differences between where we landed in the New England versus where the discussion in the Mid-Atlantic is that the herring PDT has spent a very long time doing a lot of analysis. In the Mid-Atlantic, they have this option for a catch cap. It has very little analysis that goes with it. It doesn't have a basis of what you would how would you decide. It just says we'd come up with it during specifications. So you don't know how you're going to get there, but you just would do it. From my perspective, I think we have something in the document. I think that likely in the future for the industry, working with the cap is probably the most feasible in the long term, but we're not providing any tools for the industry to manage the cap. We have different vessel classes. We have vessels that operate solely in the Gulf of Maine. Purse seining, they're going to be impacted in one way. We have midwater trawl vessels that will be impacted in one way. And then we have small mesh bottom trawl people, and again, it's different for them. So I think what we have in the document to look at this issue after a stock assessment does function. I think it could coordinate with what currently is proposed in Amendment 14, and it would give us an opportunity to fully develop options in the future. So I think that we're good with what we have.
You have a follow-up, Dave?
Oh, I got an answer to that question. Sorry. And a little more.
Yes, a little more.
The reason I'm asking is including a catch cap is a de facto way of backing into 100% monitoring, because you can't determine when a catch cap is reached unless you monitor the catch. And as Mary Beth alluded to, there are a number of fisheries that go on in the mid-Atlantic that aren't herring or mackerel, that go on in the winter months, that have small catches of both herring and mackerel, and that's why I asked the question. Because I'm very uneasy with a catch cap that requires 100% monitoring, and I don't care whether it's in the mid or in New England, because it's going to require people to make a Hobson choice here. There's boats that catch small amount of herring, required to carry 100% monitors, aren't going to keep the herring. They're going to throw them over. And you know, we have a specific charge against creating discards, and that's what it's going to do. Because, you know, a guy who's butter fishing or squid fishing or whiting fishing in southern New England, you know, faced with the choice of carrying 100% monitors or discarding all his herring, is going to discard the herring. And the same in here. I mean, I keep saying this at every single meeting, that, you know, I didn't catch 100,000 pounds of herring last year. There's no way that'll cover the cost of 100% monitoring over a 120-day season. So the only choice, if we go through with these types of things, is throwing all the fish over the side dead. And I find that offensive. So, you know, I'd like to find another way forward here. I don't like the Mid-Atlantic's way of doing it, and I don't like our way either. You know, so I'm looking for some alternative, that some blending of all of these things that would apply to the, you know, to the problem, instead of just sweeping up everybody and flushing them down the toilet with the bathwater. So, you know, I'm willing to consider the Mid-Atlantic's idea of, you know, the bigger directed fishery, but I'm not sure that's the answer either. That's kind of a long-winded way of saying I don't know where we go from here. I don't like any of them.
Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Certainly the state of Maine has a strong interest in protecting river herring, but I'm confused and concerned about the conflicting advice of the two different PDTs. Our committee and PDT spent a tremendous amount of time working on river herring and catch caps and move along measures and area management, and ultimately decided, based on the PDT's recommendation on the language in 3.3.5, that we would consider a cap once we had a completed stock assessment. I'm absolutely supportive of streamlining the regulations between the two different between the two different councils, but I'm uncomfortable about taking a measure out to the public for comment that our own PDT doesn't support at this time. Thank you.
Vince.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've said it before here that the commission is concerned about river herring and the status of these stocks, and I've comments that I've made at the Mid-Atlantic Council go along the lines of part of the reason for the amendment is to improve monitoring of what's going on and what's being caught out there. And at some point, we're going to have a better understanding of what that is. And I think the question then is the council going to have the right amount of tools to respond to whatever that monitoring indicates? And that is this an opportunity to put those tools in place so that they can be implemented relatively quickly rather than to have to do another amendment? I understand the difficulty that the PDT is having in working out the details in Amendment 5, and I understand their recommendation. But some people have expressed a feeling then maybe that's a reason why this should be put back in the document and taken out to the public. To maybe get some additional ideas, and then we would have a rationale to answer those suggestions directly with information from the PDT or other people. Thank you.
Well, just, you know, I think the comments from the last two individuals highlight the problems that we have with this fishery, which is very limited data with lots of variability and uncertainty about the results or the effectiveness of any of the measures that have been considered. We have, you know, our PDT not supporting the catch calves. We have their PDT not supporting the spatial management approaches. So ultimately, either way, one council is going to end up with implementing a measure that the other, you know, council's PDT doesn't support. I mean, that is the nature of the problem that we're dealing with the data that we have and the uncertainty about the status of the river herring resource and the potential to affect the status of it. One suggestion I will make as you consider which options you want to move forward with is that I think either way, on the back of my memo on page 2, the catch cap option that's in the document right now, you know, if that's going to move forward as one of the options, which it is already in there, I would suggest just adding or specifications process so that you have the flexibility under this option that's already existing. It would say the catch cap will be considered by the council through a framework adjustment or the specifications process so that we have at least two potential mechanisms to implement it in the future. And then besides that, you've got all of these other potential options that are laid out in these two memos to consider. That would at least give you some flexibility with what's already in the document. And then, you know, there are other things that you can add if you'd like to.
Pat.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the potential to have a disconnect between mackerel and herring is certainly much greater if you don't have consistency between the documents. It seems to me that so we've got all these question marks right now, but if we don't have consistency, then you're almost guaranteed to have a different outcome in the two different management plans. If you do have consistency between the documents, you at least have the time to try to resolve the issue and come to some mutual agreement on the best way forward. So I really think at this point it's more a procedural question. We're not deciding whether to implement catch caps. We're deciding whether it makes sense to have consistency between the documents and then try to figure out later the best way to go forward.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I haven't changed my perspective on river herring catch caps. As I said before, I'm guided by our own plan development team. I don't think that the Mid-Atlantic Council put much thought into this. It was sort of a throw it in without any analyses, similar to the sorts of in-depth discussion and analyses done by our own plan development team. Nevertheless, I do believe that Laurie has a good suggestion, so I would move that we modify Section 3.3.5, River Herring Catch Caps, and Draft Amendment 5 to include the option of specifying River Herring Catch Cap through the specification process.
Is there a second to that? Terry Stockwell. If I might add, ask Jean, do you have that section 335 in front of you? And because I had the question as to whether the way it is written actually precludes you from using the specification process.
Yeah, I think it's better to clarify it as suggested by Laurie and moved by David.
Thank you. Comments? Mary Beth and Sally.
Yeah, a question really.
Right.
I'm just curious what difference this makes to the process, Laurie. I mean, currently in the document it says that, you know, following a stock assessment that through a framework we could establish the caps. If we add the specification process is also being available, what's the difference, really? I'm just not sure.
Well, in general, measures that can be implemented through a framework should already be in the amendment or in the FMP. You can't really establish something new through a framework adjustment. You can you can make changes to an existing measure or something like that. So you can't really framework in something that doesn't exist. It kind of circumvents the process, the public process, because frameworks are so much more abbreviated. And then Adding it to the specs process, we do our specs every 3 years, but in the specs process, we have the ability to do specs or readjust the specs during interim years. And with the timing of this amendment, I mean, we're going to have done our 3-year specs process before this amendment is implemented. The amendments are both going to be implemented on January 1st, 2013, along with the new specs, supposedly, if everything works out. But either way, we're doing the specs process next year without the mechanism in place to do a river herring catch cap. So there wouldn't be a river herring catch cap until 2013 at the earliest. And it might even have to be 2014, depending on timing and things like that. But we could do it with this language. We could specify the cap. The specs are going to be 2013, 14, and 15. So if we decide any of those years, you know, we have the ability to establish it through a revised specifications for the upcoming year. So we have some problems doing it through a framework because it doesn't exist already. And then without the specs option, you pretty much would have to go through some other process to get a catch cap established.
Just to follow up, I mean, I had thought, maybe incorrectly, that by this language that was currently in the document, you would add it to the list of frameworkable items, and therefore you could do a framework. I thought that was the purpose. And maybe I'm not interpreting that correctly. And then my concern about just throwing it into the specification process, I think moving forward at some point, that is how you definitely need to do it, but how you develop it in, you know, determining how you're going to come up with the number, who it's going to affect, and all those different things, I'm not sure how you get there during the specifications.
Oh, it'll significantly complicate the specs process, no doubt. But we're going to have our specs done next year either way. So adding it in 2014 or 15, you know, the first time around, we would do it just sort of in. We do it as a revised specifications process, but maybe there would be no need to deal with the other specs, the existing specs. So we could focus on it almost like it was a framework adjustment. But without establishing the mechanism to do that in this amendment, the specs process is very specific in terms of what you're allowed and not allowed to do in that process. So we at least have to put it in the plan that we can do it in that process to even have the option there. And then in the specs process, you can always set it at zero. You can always set it at a number that is, you know, extremely high that the fishery wouldn't close, or you could specify in the specs process that there will be no cap. That's probably the easiest way to do it. But we don't even have the mechanism to do that until this amendment is implemented with that provision in it. Well, I talked with Gene about that. Maybe he wants to clarify whether or not it was frameworkable. We have in the list of framework measures to address bycatch. So I don't think it would be too difficult to make the argument that this is a measure to address bycatch and do it through a framework. But this language here just gives you the other option of doing it through the specs. You have both options under here, I guess. Okay, this motion doesn't include the language about the framework. It does. I'm sorry. So now this just gives you two options. I mean, we could still try. We could probably talk with NIMS about the framework process and get, you know, clarify whether or not this could be implemented. But having it as part of the specs process makes sense ultimately. And I'm not sure what the legal issues are with just a framework process.
Gene, any further comment?
Well, I think Lori described it very well. I mean, it is a specific new concept that wouldn't have been included in the FMP. Even though there's a general reference to bycatch provisions and frameworkable measures, I think it's a much cleaner, we'd have to really consider whether adding this kind of specific measure is really frameworkable when the concept itself is not in the FMP. Now, there is perhaps ways to draft around that by actually including a specific provision in the framework section of the regulations that specifies that the council may make recommendations through the framework process for establishing a cap, river herring cap, and that becomes a separate section in the framework. But that makes it more cumbersome and so forth. So there may be ways to draft around it. I think you can have the ability, the council can have the ability to do it either through a specification process or a framework process. I think by adding it into the specification process as a specific spec, whether you actually put a number on it or not, you've established the concept. And therefore, you could then, the council could decide on a case-by-case basis whether any changes to this measure should be done in a specification process or through a more elaborate framework process for future years. So, I really think this helps close out some of the ambiguity of whether this can be, this is just going out for public comment at this point, but I think we can try to work through some of the sort of arcane legal questions as to what process is appropriate or not after the public comment comes back. But I think it's best to have a wider variety of process options available by adding the specification process.
Sally McGee, then Dave Gatel.
Thanks. I'm trying to make sure I'm understanding this. If this motion didn't say that it would be in the specification process and we would be establishing a catch cap through the amendment, would we not be able to get a catch cap in place more quickly? Understanding the concerns that the maker had with deferring to some degree to the Mid-Atlantic's technical advice rather than listening just to one source of technical advice. So I'm trying to understand process-wise how we can most quickly get to establishing a catch cap once we have the information to be able to set a number. Is this the quickest way to do that, or is the maker trying to give us more time to come up with a number?
Quicker way. Again, put it in the public hearing document, gives us more time to think about how this would actually work in preparation for the hearings. And of course, it gives us more time to reflect on the framework language and which one might work better. I suspect that it would be the specification package. It complicates the specification procedure, certainly, but it seems to be the quicker way to do it. Once we feel confident that we can actually, with a straight face, implement a particular numerical cap. That's the other issue that this motion does not address. It's not my intention. This is more process than the actual hard work of coming up with a numerical cap that our plan development team would say to us, yes, indeed, they revisited this issue. They think it can be done. Right now they say they can't be done. But, hey, we're talking about a few years down the road. So a specification package is for the speed.
I have Dave Gaithold and Mark Gibson.
Okay, my question is, I think, similar, but it would probably help me if the motion had the entire 3.3.5 in it. In other words, my question is, the way this is written right now, will it say the catch cap will be considered by the council through a framework or the specification process, as opposed to this just says specification process? So I'd ask the maker of the motion for clarification.
I believe it reads to include. It doesn't exclude what's already there.
So it's framework or specification. It's a pretty important distinction because the framework carries more public process with it than does the specification process. And I think a lot of people would be very uneasy with something this major being crammed through quite quickly and with little public comment. So I guess with that clarification, I'll support the motion.
You, Mark Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the motion. I think this is the right direction. It establishes a process for us to grab at catch caps if the information develops to support them. And I haven't seen that yet, and our PDT, I think, has said that. I haven't seen any connections yet between proposed catch caps and the mortality rates being experienced by river herring, and they're undoubtedly high, but I'm hopeful that the next stock assessment will allow us to untangle those total mortality rates and partition them into sources and more inform us on the need and the ability to set a catch cap. But this sets the process, and I would point out that it wouldn't surprise me if we weren't able to come into alignment, complete alignment with the Mid-Atlantic Council. It's my understanding they have considered catch caps as a more viable option than area time, space-time closures because of the variability in the latter, and I don't think that that's going to be the case in New England, particularly in southern New England. I think that the space-time areas and the hotspot management or industry move-along strategies based on real-time information are going to be more viable because I think the space-time distribution is going to be more consistent, particularly in the southern New England area in the first quarter, and that's simply because of the way the fish behave. They're off the Mid-Atlantic in the winter, and all the different runs are combined, and as they move northward, they peel off into their natal estuary, so the group is becoming less heterogeneous as it moves north, as stocks drop out into their migration. So in my view, the space-time management is going to be more viable to us in the long run, so it wouldn't surprise me if we end up not in complete alignment, but I support the motion. Again, I think this is the right process. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Doug, Terry, then Erling.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I certainly appreciate this amendment, and I don't have any objection to it because it does provide the public with the opportunity to comment on the process which we would go by and if we were going to establish the catch cap. My concern with this is if we go this route, if we do decide to go with a catch cap at a later date, either through a frame workable item or through specifications, where you actually come up with a mechanism for establishing it, come up with an actual number of river herring that we feel is we should not go over, and what vessels, what industry is going to be affected by this? Where is the public going to have the opportunity to comment on those particular things? Now, with a framework, the way I understand it, we establish a frame, we start a framework, and then essentially at the next meeting, it's drafted and we can potentially vote on that framework. So essentially, there's no public hearing process on this other than for people to come to this meeting. And that can be here in Newport or it could be up in Portland, and there are people from either areas that may not travel that kind of distance to come up to comment before the meeting, as opposed to a formal public hearing process, which we're going through here. The other question is, with specifications, where is the opportunity, if we use the specification process, where is the opportunity for the public to comment on that new mechanism, the vessels that would be affected, and what the actual numbers are on? Is that just at one meeting? The PDT comes up with it, and then we vote on it? And I ask that of Lori, and I ask that of Gene. Where's the public comment on this, the actual development of the methods for this? Where's our public comment opportunity?
Well, we don't have public hearings or a formal public comment period with either a specs package or a framework, unless it's an action in a framework that requires an EIS or something like that. There would be a determination of, presumably there would be a determination of no significance with, a specs package or a framework, which allows us to do an environmental assessment instead of an EIS. For the most part, amendments, I mean, I'm sorry, frameworks and specs usually occur over the course of two council meetings with a committee meeting in between, possibly three council meetings if it takes a little while to sort out the alternatives. So the public process is similar, almost identical, I think, to both, you know, for both of these actions, and really the only opportunity for, well, it's not that limited, but the opportunity for public comment would be at the council meetings and the committee meetings, and then, of course, during the proposed rule, when NIMS publishes the proposed rule. Having this measure in the amendment at least allows for comments about the concept and the management measure as a tool to reduce river herring bycatch, and certainly makes everybody aware that we're considering it. So hopefully, if this were to go in the draft EIS, you know, more specifically than it is in there now, or other options or whatever, hopefully we would get some comment on it during the formal comment period for this amendment, and at least have that opportunity for the public to weigh in on whether or not this should be considered as a management tool. When it comes to the numbers, I have no idea how we're going to come to agreement on the numbers. That will happen during the process, whether it's a specs process or a framework process. So they may have a lot of opportunity for comment, because it's, you know, it might span the course of more than two council meetings. And with the Mid-Atlantic, we'd have to obviously have their council meetings, you know, timed with it. So there'll be lots of meetings. Everybody's used to that.
Doug, could this council, let's say we went with the framework option with it, excuse me, could this council, under the process, actually ask for public hearings under a framework? If we made a decision that this was important enough in the framework, we could. That's okay. Then I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, having a framework does not preclude you from adding in that. Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with a number of the issues that Doug just raised, but I am supportive of sending this out for public comment for two reasons. One is that it ties the concept of a catch cap with an updated stock assessment, and the second is it allows for the potential for some consistency. There are a lot of ifs, and you know, we've just started to scratch the surface here of what they all are, but I think after we go through legal review of public comment in multiple more council meetings, we'll think through each of the measures one by one.
Erling.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, the Mid-Atlantic FMAT didn't say the cap is the best way. It's just a way of doing it, and Doug is right, and so is Lori. Take it up for public comment, and then it'll come back to the council. And we don't know that it's going to survive after that public comment period. So it's just something to put out there for people to be able to comment on, and then we'll see where it's at. Thank you.
That's a good segue. Lori?
Sorry, before you vote on the motion, I just wanted to clarify, from my memo, this motion is a modification to what we already have in the document. On the front page of this memo, the option one, option two, option three that are laid out here are pulled directly from the Mid-Atlantic Council's amendment and just modified from mackerel to herring. And this option 1, 2, 3 here also essentially achieves the same thing as this motion up here. I just, in response to the Mid-Atlantic Council's request, I want to be clear that we're not implementing the specific suite of options that are in their amendment, but whatever, if this motion is voted, that whatever we are going out to public hearing with is generally consistent, and that we'll just have to work out timing issues later. But I think the only problem I have with or the only concern I have with the three options on page one is the option two, which would implement the cap, is I'm concerned a little bit with the language in there, like calling it a mortality cap, because we have no idea what the mortality is. And, you know, just saying that we're going to determine the level of river, a certain level of river herring mortality through the specifications process. I mean, I don't know if we're ever going to have the ability to do that specifically. But You could also consider, if you want to make it more clear in the document, that these are, you could consider these three options, but I think we'd have to work on some wording, or you could consider this option, and I think you essentially achieve the same thing. The only other thing after this that you might want to consider is Jason's suggestions in the memo about what to do if they implement a cap and we don't, but we'll see how this goes first. So I just wanted to be clear, though, that this motion modifies what we already have in the plan to get to the same place that the Mid-Atlantic Council's motions or options would get to.
I think that what we're trying to do is not necessarily get to exactly where the mid is, but to give us some option of getting something that's somewhat near that. And I think that this motion does resolve that. I'm going to go to the audience if there are any comments on this, because I know that obviously at public hearing people will have a chance to comment on it, but anybody want to speak in favor of this? Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the council. I'm Jeff Kalin with Lund's Fisheries in Cape May, New Jersey, and we've been following this process in both councils for some number of years now. And it is unfortunate there hasn't been more cross-fertilization between the FMAT members and the PDT members, because obviously there's been a different outcome in how to approach this issue, maybe some other ones. One of the things that the FMAT did was look at the trawl survey data on river herring, which was really pretty positive in terms of stability, or at least even an increase with some of the survey data in river herring abundance offshore. And so I think it is difficult. I support the PDT's approach in saying that, you know, we don't have the biological information to develop an appropriate cap. At the same time, the FMAT took a look at all these closures and blocks, the pages and pages and pages and pages of blocks and red blocks and so forth that's in this document. And, you know, the Science Center people in the FMAT said, wait a minute, you know, if you're going to go down this road, we're going to have to close the entire area where the herring and the mackerel fishery takes place in the wintertime. And I don't believe that the federal law requires closing a fishery to address bycatch issues. So they really ended up in a very different place. And, you know, obviously the boats are similar in some cases, maybe not in every case, particularly in the winter fishery. So I think this is a good approach, and I'm happy to speak in favor of it just to get us beyond this little roadblock. But I appreciate what Mr. Stockwell said about this capturing the intent of the herring PDT and saying we don't have data to establish a cap yet. And then finally, Jason's memo indicates that the midwater trawl fleet maybe represents about a third of river herring mortality incidental catches. And we've been saying for some time as we developed this SMAS bycatch avoidance project that we'd like to get the bottom trawl fleet engaged in that. We didn't have money for it the first time. And I'm happy to say today, after talking to Ms. McGee and some of the people she works with, it looks like the Nature Conservancy is stepping up to help SMAS have the resources to bring the small mesh bottom trawl fleet in southern New England into that project this winter, assuming we have a mackerel fishery and so forth. So, but I think that's good news, and I really appreciate the Nature Conservancy stepping up and really trying to find a way to solve these problems with the industry. So thank you very much for the chance to comment.
Anyone against? Take one more comment in support. Pat?
Thank you, Rip. Patrick Paquette, I'm a recreational fishing advocate from Massachusetts. I guess I'm stuck, and I just wanted to point out to the council that I see this motion as extremely different from what's in the Mid-Atlantic document. In my opinion, doing this way as opposed to using the options in the letter puts the earliest time with the river herring stock assessment coming out a year from now or a year and a half from now, puts the earliest time that you could implement a river herring cap at 2016, which is more than one other complete life cycle away, a river herring and a stock that NIMS has just said that deserves consideration of an ESA listing. I'm extremely concerned that adding what I see is clearly will be a priority fight to get a framework moving is just too much time and too much bureaucracy before we could actually get on the water action if this is something that the council wants to do. I think that the Mid-Atlantic's approach is easier and faster in the document, and I also think that it's going to be really difficult for the public to comment on both of these plans with that kind of significant difference. And as one of the recreational leaders, it's got at least 22 organizations that really want me to help them understand these two processes with joint hearings that going this way I see is actually further complicating looking at this subject. It's just it doesn't line up. And I don't know. I see this as moving away from what the MIDS asked as opposed to moving toward it. And the other one is in general, with two bodies of respected staff and scientists coming out in two completely different places, and I guess I don't feel that one is better than the other. I see them as both just coming, taking a complicated situation and getting to do different places. If that's the case, then maybe this is exactly what Congress envisioned in NEPA, when the public's input might actually inform the council and help assist the council in making the final decision. So, I don't know. I just urge you to seriously, before you vote on this, to consider actually doing exactly what the MID asked and lining these two things up really closely. Thank you.
Back to the council. Further comments? Call a question. All those in favor of the motion so indicate. Sixteen. Opposed? Abstention? One abstention. Motion carries 16-01. Doug, do you have anything else for us?
No, sir, other than just to let you know that, as Lori wanted me to point out, that based on the timelines here, even with this new more modification of Section 3.3.5, both plans are lined up for implementation by January 1st, 2013. Thank you. Lori.
And just another note on that, this council in April of next year, when we're scheduled to make final decisions on this amendment, will have the benefit of the Mid-Atlantic Council meeting 2 weeks earlier to make their final decisions. So we'll know for the April council meeting what the MID has proposed for their final action. And I'm going to go ahead and assume that no one around the table is interested in considering the options in the Mid-Atlantic Council's memo for if one council, or if there's not a catch cap approved for both plans or both fisheries, that there would be an option to close the vessels in the Area 2 winter fishery if the cap closes for the mackerel fishery. And we don't set a cap, or we, you know, do something different. I'm just throwing it out there to just make sure I'm clear that you guys are not going to want to put in those measures as well.
Okay. I don't. Terry.
No, I'm related to that. When you're ready, Mr. Chair.
I'm ready.
Lori, could you remind us all when you're going to schedule the public hearings?
Well, right now, if you take a look at the timeline, hopefully we can meet this timeline because things are very complicated getting through the process. But we're scheduled for a comment period February 17th to April 2nd. So I'm going to plan public hearings for March to give people a little bit of time to read the document before the hearing process. We're going to do probably several hearings over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, and we will do one probably in the Mid-Atlantic area, in coordination with, have it a joint public hearing for herring and mackerel, and then we're going to do one up here in New England with the Mid-Atlantic staff, and then we'll probably do four or five individually.
Okay. Thank you, Doug and Lori. We are now at the public comment period. This is where the public has an opportunity to comment on items that are relevant to council business but not currently listed on the agenda.